Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. I want you to think about the last time that you got sick. Hopefully you are enjoying vibrant health. And I'm one of those people that rarely ever gets sick. I had some nerve pain about a year and a half ago that I believe was brought on by a great deal of stress since I've been suing the public servants. Thanks to you and the things that I exposed, the FBI raided the properties of the Board of Supervisors' daughter, and all of the other Board of Supervisors in Orange County are calling to censure him. So he's going to go down in disgrace, and he's been a disgrace from the get-go. So anyhow, in that whole episode of my suing the serpents that went on 4 years, I really burnt the candle at both ends. So in the video today, we're going to talk about this theory called the four humors. It is an explanation of why people get sick, because remember, the germ theory, the theory of virology, these are all theories, which means they are not facts. So would love to hear from you why you think people get sick. You can actually just give me a list in the comments. And then we're going to talk about how not to get sick. So at the end of the video, I've got 10 things that I do to keep myself healthy. This is going to be such an interesting video because we're going to be talking about this explanation or this concept really that was around for thousands of years up until about 150 years ago when microscopes were invented and then scientists saw microbes, but up until then, there was a completely different view on how and why people got sick and how and why people could stay healthy. So I'm going to talk all about that. I probably will do a deep dive on the germ theory and Louis Pasteur later on, but this video is to specifically talk about the four humors. Let me know if you've heard of that. We're going to do a deep dive in that. And before I do that, I do want to thank the sponsor of the video. So we'll hop right on over. And we are at noblegoldinvestments.com. And here's the hard truth. Every 6 years, your dollar loses half its buying power. That means a $100,000 savings account today could feel like just $50,000 by the year 2031. And you see it every time you fill up your tank, buy groceries, or pay the bills. Prices are up, your dollar is down. But there's a simple way to protect the value of your savings with something real, something proven, gold. It's an asset that holds its value over time. And that's why I trust Noble Gold Investments. They make it simple to protect your savings with physical gold or silver. There are no high-pressure sales, no call centers, just honest guidance, one-on-one support, and transparent pricing. And right now, when you open a qualified account, Noble Gold will send you a free 10-ounce silver American flag bar as a thank you. I think that is so cool. So head on over to noblegoldinvestments.com today to learn more, and you can give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that's noblegoldinvestments.com. I'll have a link for you in the description box below. Don't just protect your wealth, preserve its power. All right, let's get back to today's video. Friends, whenever I talk about the theory of illness and disease, it's inevitable that someone says to me, "Well, you know, Peggy, my son, daughter, wife, husband, one of your family members or coworkers got sick. And then before you know it, you got sick or your whole family got sick." And that has been the stumbling block for so many people when they are questioning this theory of virology. The theory of virology, in a nutshell, is that there are unseen, basically invisible, non-life forms that somehow get past your defenses and hijack, even though they're inert and it's not a life form. There's no mobility. There's no energy production. There's no metabolism. There's no life. There's no death. But somehow, this inert object, like my lipstick, for example, gets through your body's defenses, hijacks your own cells, and starts to replicate and makes you sick. That's the theory of virology in a nutshell. And it's contagious so that if you're sick, somebody else gets sick, and so on and so forth. That is what the whole 2020 hog washing was all about, that you could make someone sick even if you didn't have symptoms of illness. Now, I guess God made a mistake because people could get sick without symptoms. I find that very curious. I've spoken about that at length. But what we're talking about today is an ancient theory or explanation or concept or idea or accepted notion of why people got sick and how they could stay well. Now, for every person that says, you know, my spouse got sick and then the whole household got sick, I can show you another person like myself who will say, well, my husband got sick and I didn't get sick. And like, we live in the same household and we share a lot of things. So how is it that the person that I'm the closest with and spend the most amount of time with, that he could be sick and I'm not? So for every time you give me an example of everybody got sick, well, we have to look at the other facts and the other factors. And this is what the four humors theory does. So I made some notes here for you, and I found it really interesting because years ago when I was doing a radio show all about health and wellness, I talked about how to stay healthy naturally. And again, stay tuned till the end of the video because I've got 10 of my top tips for staying healthy. But I find this so fascinating that way back with the Greek and the Roman philosophers and physicians, they had a similar idea, which was called the four humors. Now, this really, many people would go for spiritual healing when they were sick, because another commonly accepted premise was that something was out of balance in your entire lifestyle. So if you were sick, it wasn't just an isolated cellular response to some germ. It was your entire body was out of balance. And more importantly, your spirit and your soul were unaligned with, they would say, providence or the universe or the gods, because the Romans and the Greeks had many gods. And so you would go for spiritual healing. Let me know in a comment if you still believe in spiritual healing. I believe that the entire body is involved in illness and wellness. So we're looking at your, and this really aligns with the four humors, H-U-M-O-U-R-S. And I'm going to talk about that and show you some images in just a moment. This is similar to the Ayurvedic style of wellness and illness in India, where they have three different doshas or constitutions. So I've got my Dr. Chari, who's my personal friend and doctor, and she's going to be speaking all about Ayurveda in our private webinar that is, she'll be on that in December. So I hope that you will sign up for that. So in the Ayurvedic, which I'm not an expert, but she is, it has to do with your constitution as well as five elements: earth, wind, water, fire, and ether. Basically, we can call that air. This is also similar to traditional Chinese medicine. Let me know if you practice traditional Chinese medicine. They also refer to it as TCM, I believe, and I'm not an expert in that, but I am learning about it. And it has also to do with the five elements: earth, wind, fire, remember that group, Earth, Wind, and Fire? I'm kind of dating myself. Earth, Wind, and Fire, water, and then metal, I believe, are the five elements that the Chinese have. The reason I'm talking about this is that the concept in Europe with the Greeks and the Romans very much mirrored the concept in Asia, in China, and in India, although they had different names. So in China, your qi or your energy is out of balance. And to this day, these views of wellness and illness look at the entire body. So we're looking at your physical constitution. We're looking at your emotions, your spiritual constitution, what you're eating, what environment you're in. And this all makes up what has been referred to in for hundreds of years, the four humors. So this was actually popularized and is associated with Hippocrates. Remember, first do no harm and let food be thy medicine. I think you've heard all about that. This is related to the four humors. So let's talk about what that means. It's basically, the humor can be described as your disposition. or your flavor, your vibe, like your makeup, all right? And there, not all the adherents back in the Greek and Roman times agreed that there were only four of these vibes or dispositions. They thought there were several different ones, but these are the basic ones that were the most popular at the time. So you've got the, let me just show you an image real quick, and then I will talk about it a little bit more. So I think this is really interesting, and I'm going to talk about each of these. Here we go. So the four humors, and this is just one graphic image to describe it. At the end, I'm going to share with you where you can take a quiz to find out which of the four humors you have as your primary. Now, it's likely that many of us are a mixture of some, or, you know, of more than one, but we have a primary disposition or constitution. So here's what they are. The first one is called choleric. So like cholera, and it is associated with your period of life of childhood. It doesn't mean that all children are choleric. It just means that that's one of the symbols that is associated with it. Each one of these has different factors. So I'll start. Yellow bile is associated with this. So if you were ill, your yellow bile was out of whack. You were producing too much. You had the sensation of being hot and dry. And the element that was associated with this humor was fire. The season is summer. The organ is the gallbladder. And there was even a planet that was associated with each of these. And I don't really know that much about the planets and why they were associated, although perhaps it had something to do with, again, the season. And that planet was Mars. So wherever Mars was in the sky. So let me explain the three other humors, and then we'll talk about ways that they would try to bring these into balance. So sanguine, you've heard of that. That is an adjective. When someone is sanguine or sanguine, they're very kind of, there's just easygoing, right? They're like chill. And that has to do with, it's associated with adolescence. And the element in the body, the fluid in the body is blood. So if you had an illness in your blood, of course, back in the day, they thought you had too much blood. So they would do some blood letting. Who knows? Maybe that's even something that is going to come back into vogue. People are donating blood all the time. So it's kind of like what they did in that back in the day. So they thought that if you had a disease in your blood, you had too much blood. The concept was that your blood came from the food that you eat. It's not too far off, because my idea and what I think makes sense to me is that when you're eating food, the components and the nutrients in that food certainly go to build the red blood vessels that now we know are formed in bone marrow, in the bones. So blood was the fluid. The season was spring for the sanguine. The element is air. The planet was Jupiter. The organ was the heart. And the constitution was hot and moist. So if someone was having heart problems, they thought, well, that person is too hot and moist. So we need to reduce the hot, spicy foods. We need to bring them to a cooler climate. And because the element is air, maybe that was out of balance. You can start to see how these characteristics of each humor were looked at holistically, really is the good description of it, to determine why the person was getting sick. It was because there was an imbalance in these areas. All right, the next one, phlegmatic, right? That has to do with the period of life when you've reached maturity or your prime. So I would say probably in the middle years, you know, like 40 to 60, something like that, or 65 or even older. So the fluid there is phlegm. Think about that. If someone is having coughing and they're spitting up a lot of phlegm, then this approach, this explanation of illness would look at them holistically, look at the food, look at the environment. And the season here is autumn, associated with autumn. The qualities are cold and moist, right? That makes sense. Like you have too much fluid in your lungs. The element is water, and the associated organ is the brain. Now, I think I left out the planet. So the planet is the moon. That's again, I don't really know how the planets played into the healing. It's just something that I researched and it came up. Okay, then the fourth and final humor is melancholic. We even have that description if someone is melancholy. I think I'm a little melancholy from time to time. That's like an intense longing for times gone by, the good old days. That's melancholy, where there's a little bit of sadness associated with it. So the melancholic age is associated with old age. The fluid is black bile. Now, in the body, I don't really know what black bile is associated with, other than maybe it's maybe if you're throwing up or something coming out the other end, but we don't see that typically in the blood unless the blood has dried. The season is winter. The organ is the spleen. Again, this is so interesting. I see the associations with traditional Chinese medicine. The element is the earth, not the planet, but the ground of the earth. The planet associated with the melancholic humor is Saturn, and the qualities are cold and dry. All right, don't worry if you didn't memorize this. I'll put this graphic image up again, and I will also have it at my Substack, which is peggyhall.substack.com. And so I wanted to share that with you for the bigger picture of the concept that this theory of illness and disease was around for thousands. I can see that I'm freezing. Am I freezing on your end, friends? I'm freezing on my end. This, maybe YouTube doesn't like when I am using these words. Hopefully I'm not freezing too much. We'll just say that the four humors had a holistic approach to illness and wellness. So I will leave this image for you in my Substack. And then what I want to do is give you another little brief description. Then I'm going to show you where you can take a quiz and I will go over the questions together. And I want you to think, I'll just read to you what these are. So let's do this. You've got the most important way that they balanced these humors was through diet and lifestyle. Gee, it sounds like we're coming full circle again. So there was a lot of focus on food and drink in order to heal people. That's why Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine. So the combination of the bodily fluids in your humor and the qualities, the hot, cold, dry, moist, were believed to also affect your temperament. So if someone was hot, they were angry all the time. They would fly off the handle. And if they were cold, they were very aloof. And if they were dry, they were very bitter. So it also went along with personality types as well. It's interesting because we use that word humor, like they're in good humor, right? We still have that phrase. It has persisted to this day. So your humor would also impact your personality, your physical appearance, your complexion. If you looked robust, if you looked healthy, if you were a cheerful personality, if you had nice blood flow and you had rosy cheeks, or if you were sallow and pale and yellow, if you were jaundiced, if you were angry, all of this had to do with what was going on inside your body. And there were also outside factors. So again, think about people who moved to different climates in order to feel better. This also played a part in the humoral theory, as it's called. So the different seasons, if there was some kind of illness that people were suffering, the humoral theory would say, well, that's because it's summer. And in the summer, it's hot and dry. And then there would be some other kind of illness that people would experience in the winter, because in the winter, it's dry and cold. So, or moist and cold, that's probably I don't know if that's the winter exactly, but I'm giving you an example to say that it was the climate and the seasons, and apparently the planets were looked to for reasons and explanations as to why people got sick. The concept that you could make someone sick, or that there was something that made you sick, did not apply and did not even occur, did not exist in this concept of the four humors. It was you and your constitution and your moods and your personality and the kind of vibe or disposition that you had, the kind of foods that you were eating, where you lived, the environment where you lived, all of that was the reason and the explanation for illness. Makes perfect sense to me. Now, along the same time, there was a theory called miasma, the theory of illnesses that spread. Catch this. Don't catch it. Don't catch any illness. Can you catch an illness? The miasma theory said that there was something in the air that made the people sick, but not a pathogen. It was pollution. It was dirty air. There could be something in the environment. There could be dirty water. There could be overcrowding. So whatever, actually, I kind of threw that one in. I'm just thinking on my feet here. But the miasma theory held that there were some kind of poisonous vapors in the air that didn't necessarily come from people. But yes, it did come from contaminated water. I'm reading my notes here. Foul air. And yes, indeed, poor hygienic conditions. So these infections that people had were not passed to individuals, but the concept was that everybody in that area would get sick because of the environment. Makes sense to me. So this whole concept of a microbe, of a tiny little germ making you sick at the cellular level, this didn't come around until like 150 years ago, roughly, give or take. It was the late 1800s. With Louis Pasteur, who's been widely discredited, and he was a maniac. He was the Fauci of his day, doing horrific, torturous cruelty of unthinkable measures upon animals in order to prove the existence of rabies. I say that with a grain of salt because he never proved anything. And he's been widely discredited. You know, back in the day, there were rabies centers, just like there were to get your cooties cocktail. So he hyped all of that up, and the poor animals and people suffered because of it. So just to say that this concept of germs is very, very new. For thousands of years, the ancient Greeks and Romans, and to this day in India and China and probably other countries in Asia and around the world, it still persists, this concept of you are out of balance individually because of your constitution, because of your emotions, because of your sleep, because of your stress, because of your outlook, because of your environment, mainly your food, and your constitution. So it may be that one person is more prone to having coughs. Someone else is more prone to aches and pains. Someone else is more prone to whatever the case may be because of your own constitution and how just your divine design makes perfect sense to me. The concept of these invisible pathogens is very, very new, and it's just a theory, meaning it's not a fact. All right, let's go to the quiz. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I don't even know if I can trust this quiz. I just am doing it completely for fun. And I will leave a link for you in my Substack, peggyhall.substack.com. So let's do this. We'll hop right on over. Let me know if you're familiar with this four humors theory or the miasma theory or the traditional Chinese medicine or Ayurveda. I think it's very well worth looking into all of these. Here we go. The four humors, blood, yellow bile, black bile, and phlegm, were a combination of four qualities, cold, dry, and moist, that were believed to affect temperament and physical qualities and health. People believed you have one prevailing humor, which in turn was impacted or could be treated or balanced by several outside factors, including diet. All right. So you take the quiz to find out which humor dominates your person and what foods you should eat to remedy that and increase your health. All right. I answered a couple of these, but then I realized I would just leave them blank and you can answer them on your own. So what are you doing Saturday night? All right, let me know in a comment. Catching up with friends, creating something, going on a date, or making a warm cup of tea. I'm creating something, okay? I don't sit still. I am on the move. I am constantly working. Working for me is not even work. It's a joy and a pleasure and a passion. People say, are you retired? First of all, I say, I'm too young to be retired. And secondly, I say, what does that mean to retire? I am going to serve the Lord and serve whoever needs my help. And I'm going to live my life with passion and purpose. So no, I'm never going to retire. All right. Let me know in a comment what you're doing. There's no right or wrong. It's just, this is just for fun. All right. Which, I don't know what happened to question two. Maybe I have it somewhere else. All right. Which traits would describe you best? Meek and quiet, creative and emotionally sensitive, proud and quick-tempered, chatty and energetic. You know, I put creative and emotionally sensitive for myself, but I think I'm also chatty and energetic. I'm not meek and quiet. I definitely am quick tempered, and Lord forgive me if I have the tendency toward proudness. No, I hope not. All right, here we go. Here's question two. Pick somewhere to live. The bayous of Louisiana, the Canadian tundras, the North Atlantic coast, or the Mojave Desert? I did not answer this one. Where do you think I would live out of these four? And tell me where you would live. Actually, none of them are my top choice. But I would have to say, this might sound strange, but I would choose the Mojave Desert. I love the desert. I lived in Morocco. Actually lived in Palm Springs for a while. I love the desert. I just find the energy there. Maybe it has to do with my constitution, my humor, or as they would say in Ayurvedic medicine, my dosha. So I prefer that hot and dry climate. Absolutely. Although I don't mind, let's see, bayous, I guess that would be more humidity, water, Canadian tundras, mountains, I suppose, and North Atlantic coast, that would be very wet and cold. Not for me. Okay. Question number four. What is your decision-making style? I let someone else make the decisions for me. I often put off making decisions. I trust myself to make decisions quickly. That's what I do. I just make the decisions quickly. If you have difficulty making decisions, go onto my other channel called Living Swell with Peggy Hall. It's here on YouTube. And I have a whole series about decision-making made easy. So I hope that will help you. All right. Let me know which one you tend toward. Okay. Question five, pick a season. Well, I'm definitely summer. I like all the seasons, but I definitely am summer. Okay. What element do you vibe with? There's the word again. All right. Let me know for you, fire, water, earth, air. I'm definitely water. I basically live in the water. Can't live without the water. I feel like a fish out of water if I'm out of water. And that is just my happy place to be. Okay. I can already see I've got a mixed bag in terms of my constitution, because water doesn't necessarily go with the Mojave Desert, does it? So perhaps I'm a contradiction here. All right. Would you consider yourself spontaneous? Absolutely. I'm the most spontaneous person that I know. And it kind of drives some people crazy, because I always like to change things at the last minute. And it's like, hey, this will be fun. And I know that's not everybody's cup of tea. Some people have to plan everything out and do not like to deviate. And that's fine for them. It takes all kinds. These are just proclivities. And I love doing things at the spur of the moment. How about you? Okay. And you can replay the video if I'm going too quick. You can take a screen grab, or just go to the link that I'll have for you in my Substack in a day, and then you can take the quiz yourself. Time to eat. Now, it's interesting. It did not have on here sweet, because that's what I would choose. But the options here, offerings are sour or tart, refreshing, salty, spicy. I put refreshing. I do love fruit. Fruit is sweet. So I chose that. I guess that goes along with water. I love watermelon. Love to know about you. Those were the questions. Now, your answers will tell you, I don't know how accurate this is, but here you are, phlegmatic. Your dominating humor is phlegm. Oh, that sounds so distasteful to me. They are usually characterized as being physically pale and having introverted, meek, or listless personalities. And I tell you, friends, my quiz gave me this response. I think I am the opposite of introverted, meek, or listless. That's like the polar opposite of my disposition. But I guess because it's associated with water, I don't know, maybe because I chose water as one of my options, but it does give you the, again, I'll put all of this in the Substack so you can study it, the kinds of foods that you should enjoy, the ones that you should avoid. So I find it really interesting, very similar to the Ayurveda approach in the Chinese. Okay, melancholic. Your dominating humor is black bile. These dispositions usually have a dark complexion, sad, but creative and emotionally sensitive. Well, I'm creative and emotionally sensitive, but I don't think I have a dark complexion. There you go. I guess I am a little melancholy sometimes. Choleric. Your dominating humor is yellow bile. Your disposition is usually being physically jaundiced and having extroverted, proud, or angry personalities. I guess I definitely am more extroverted. And I do get angry at injustices, that's for sure. So I don't know how accurate the actual descriptions are. And sanguine is associated with physically ruddy, cheerful, chatty, openly emotional. I probably would say that I'm more sanguine if I was going to give myself a quality. I certainly like to eat, and I think some people think I'm jolly and lighthearted. So whether or not this quiz is accurate, the overall approach of looking at illness and wellness as an individual disposition where you may have tendencies toward certain things and your emotions, your personality, where you live, certainly what you eat is going to influence that. So I promised you at the end, I'd give you my 10 ways that I strive to stay healthy. And I would say it kind of goes along with this whole four humors in a manner of speaking, given its holistic approach to health. So how not to get sick? This is what I do. Well, let me know what you think is the number one indicator of impacting your health. And this is for my own personal experience. And I would say that many people feel the same way. So I don't know if it's an absolute, but for me, the number one that everything else is predicated upon is good quality sleep. Now, I'm not going to say the number of hours because you can be in bed for 8 or 10 hours, but not get a good night's sleep. So the quality of the sleep, the uninterrupted sleep, which is why our little Tabby Tesoro, our little treasure, has his little playroom. He has his little Tarzan and he has his own little King Tut hut. Yes, he has many nicknames. And he goes in his little King Tut hut at night and he loves it in his little playroom. So it's basically my office and that's where he likes to hang out so that we get a good night's sleep. Because with my other animals, I literally had very broken sleep and it affected so many areas of my life. So sleep for me, number one. Number two, stress. And I think that goes hand in hand. When you're stressed, it's difficult to sleep. If you're lacking in sleep, you're more likely to be stressed. And I would say those are really the top two. And then the others are not in any particular order, but they're all equally important, if I could say that. You need to enjoy your life. Okay. That goes with the stress. That's why I got another little kitty cat because I love animals and my life was empty for those months without any little heartbeats in the home. And that's something that brings me joy along with responsibility and purpose and a schedule and meaning and love and laughter and antics and adventure. I love that. So that increases my enjoyment. There might be a little increase in stress here or there along with it, but it's a good, healthy, fun stress, if I can put it that way. So for heaven's sakes, you've got to up your enjoyment quotient in your life. I believe that God wants us to enjoy ourselves. There are plenty of examples of that. Enjoy your blessings and let your blessings work in your life. Bless others if you're able. And for me, that's why I do this YouTube channel. It's the highlight of my day to come see my healthy Americans. And it is a lot of work and there is a lot of stress associated with it. I take on the weight of the world when I'm dealing with thousands and thousands of people's problems that, you know, I'm sharing in their burden, but I wouldn't change it. I love it. I love that work. And then I love to enjoy my life as well. Exercise is important. I love to walk. I love to swim. Anything to do with the water, physical, you know, water aerobics, surfing, swimming, body surfing, all of that is just my joy. I love it. And diet, of course, not meaning restrictive diet, but what you eat. And speaking of Chinese medicine, when my mom was studying for her nursing relicensing, she took a class about traditional Chinese medicine. And I remember reading this sentence in the book that just stuck with me forever. And it was the Chinese, in this book, it was the Chinese approach to diet. And it was a 5-word diet. And it, are you ready for it? Eat lightly of nourishing foods. There, that's the diet. Eat lightly of nourishing foods. Don't stuff yourself. And a nourishing food can be a cupcake and a piece of pizza and whatever you like, a baked potato, macaroni and cheese. Anything can be nourishing if you actually enjoy it and eat it without guilt and punishment. The reason people overeat, in my experience, is because they feel so guilty for what they ate. They just keep eating, or they're distracting themselves with the computer or the TV. So eat lightly of nourishing foods. Enjoy what you eat. Eat what you enjoy, or for heaven's sakes, don't even eat it. Of course, we need fresh air, and we need sunshine, and we need social connection. And those three were squelched intentionally during the hog washing. Of course, I didn't go along with it. I was out every day and I still connected with my friends and I was getting my fresh air and the sunshine that Granny Gates allowed from time to time when they were not spraying in the air. So those things are extremely important to your health. And they tried to impose the isolation and strip people of the ability of getting together. Of course, they chose to do that. Nobody came in and locked you in your house, but people fell for it. Not only a social connection, but a spiritual connection. And I'm a person of faith. I've made videos about that in the past. So prayer is very important to me. Listening to God is very important to me. Feeling that I am a part of His creation and I'm not just some insignificant speck that evolved from a monkey. No, I've spoken about that before. There's no evidence for evolution. Okay. There's no fossil that shows that, you know, a human came from a bird or something. That's why they need to say the earth is billions of years old because it took so long. Well, no, it didn't. The earth and humans were created within 6 days, and on the seventh day, the Lord rested. So nothing more new was created. All right. Most importantly, maybe not most importantly, well, yes, for me, the spiritual connection along with that is purpose and passion. So I think that's 10: sleep, stress reduction, exercise, enjoyment, your nourishment, fresh air, sunshine, social connection, spiritual connection, and then your purpose and passion. And ideally, those are connected, that you feel that there is a reason to get up in the morning, that you're passionate about something. I am passionate about exposing evil, helping people know about their rights, standing in truth, exposing the bad guys. It's my purpose and my passion. And I'm so grateful to have you on board as we march this all the way to heaven.